This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is KJ Live.
Yeah!
With Chris Johnson. And Chris is having conversations with influencers in the sports world and entertainment industry.
Hey!
Now here's Chris Johnson.
You are now tuned in to KJ Live. Today's guest on the show is a former UCLA Bruin baller that spent 10 seasons playing in the NBA. He now works for the Houston Rockets as their color analyst. Let's welcome in Ryan Hollins to the building, to KJ Live. What's good, Ryan?
What's up, big bro? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm great, man. It's a little chilly out here in LA, man. You out there in where, Denver? What's cracking?
Yeah, I'm in Denver right now. We got Jokic on. They're not back-to-backs. They're like game and games, whatever they're called. So,
okay.
Yeah, man, we seeing that young boy up close and personal.
So you guys got Jokic. Now the Rockets this year, you guys are sitting at around 5-15. The young guys have been playing a lot, getting a lot of experience. Just talk a little bit about how this season, in this first sort of third or fourth of the season, has gone for the Houston team.
I think for the young guys, it's been amazing because they've got a lot of experience. You can look at the record, but you also understand 10 of the first 13 were on the road. We've seen like two non-playoff teams already. So like they've been getting hazed, and I think they've done just well. And I think that the big thing is development. And you've seen Jalen get better. We've seen Jabari, who the last three games was averaging around 19 points per, you know, kind of really coming to his own. So that's a big point of the season. You know, it's not that the Rockets aren't trying to win games. It's like development's important. And when you got a 18, 19-year-old out there on the floor, they're going to have to learn NBA basketball. You know, it's rare that you find those, with all due respect, the 19-year-old, the Magic Johnsons, the Lucas, LeBrons, that's why they are who they are. It takes other guys, you know, a couple more years to become, you know, that guy.
Yeah, no, it does. And it's interesting how now, you know, you mentioned Luka, LeBron, but, you know, guys that saw success so early, so prolific in the NBA, that we kind of measure rookies by that standard now. And it is sort of unfair
one of the young guys on that team, Shagun, that's been playing a lot of good basketball. I read somewhere Jokic said the Rockets should run the offense through him more. What's been the key to his development this season for the Rockets?
He had so much success last year, but he came off the bench. Now he's a starter. Now the teams are game planning for him a little different. So Alperen Şengün, he's a 40-year-old man in a 20-year-old's body. Like, he has all the shoulder fame.
Yeah, he does.
All the
oh, like, he's nice.
He's you at 6'10", 6'11", bro.
No, his footwork is impeccable.
I'm serious.
No,
yeah.
I know.
Yes.
That experience in the Turkish league, my man, like Hollins, what do you think? Like, because he came in experienced. He was kind of tried through the fire over there. I played in that league for a quick cup of coffee. Yeah, it is one of the most competitive, physical, tough leagues that I had played in while I was overseas. You think that had something to do with it? Or is there something going on, you know, with the development staff and the work that they're putting in? Just give us some insight on how he's gotten so much better.
It's both, big bro. You know, to be honest, when you look at him, he's gotten so much better in such a small amount of time. But you have to understand that, like, I saw him go pound for pound with Anthony Davis, pound for pound with a lot of these guys last year, DeAndre Ayton, and, like, he wasn't intimidated. He just had to catch up to, oh, that's how high they jump. That's how fast they run. But I've seen him just absolutely work guys on the block. So it's he's figuring out how to be that guy. Coming in this year with the different expectations of you're the starter versus off the bench was a different story for him. And, you know, these young guys are working. They're competing for minutes. They're playing hard. So, you know, for Al P, he's like, oh, I gotta get on their level. I gotta figure this out. So that's the biggest thing I've seen from him, is adjusting and growing to what he has to see or what he's going to be seeing on a night-to-night basis.
Does Jalen Green have the potential to be sort of that superstar level type talent in the NBA?
He does, bro. And the reason I say it, you know, we'll list a couple of reasons. One, he's got it, like, athletically. Like, he's one of those one percenters, dude.
A freak. He's a straight freak.
You know how there's some guys like, oh, he could win a dunk contest. But then there's some guys like the lob went too high and he went and caught it back here and then come down and just made it look real easy, finger rolled it. Like, somebody threw him a lob against OKC and it kind of floated, like, led him too long. Like, he didn't have his feet weren't right, dog. Mm-hmm. And he jumped and just glid and then tapped it in. It was like, he has that. And then the thing about Jalen is, like, in here, dog, like, he's there. Like, he's competitive, he's angry, he's fiery, like, he's there. So
locked in.
A lot of those reasons are why he's going to be really, really good. And I strongly believe he has that superstar potential in him, because he's, like, angry when things don't work out. Like, he's frustrated when, you know, hey, like, he didn't, you know, if he's not scoring or he's not playing up to where he should be, he's mad.
Yeah, normally. But
he's mad on a different level. I don't want to say Kobe, because a lot of people throw out Kobe, and I think those are really big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But he has that, like, anger, like I'm supposed to be this dude. Y'all tripping.
Yeah.
Like, y'all tripping. What do y'all see? Like, y'all tripping.
Yeah.
That's what is, like, yeah, he different, dog.
That swagger, that confidence, we used to hoop against guys like that. We would say it was arrogance, but it's really not. It's just full on belief in your skill set and your ability. And I definitely agree with you on many fronts with Jalen. I've seen him do some stuff that just blows my mind at times. Obviously young and still has to develop and learn how to play in the NBA. But, man, I still want to stay on the Rockets for a little bit, man, because it's intriguing, this lineup and this situation, and then going into next season, how things could shape up, okay, with draft positions and all that. Kevin Porter Jr., how do you characterize him? Does he embrace, like, being, like, sort of a leader, an elder statesman on this team?
He does, as best as he can, because he's still learning the position.
Yeah.
This is his second year kind of picking up where he left off last year. But to me, he does it by example. He talks to his teammates. He has an amazing attitude. He's figuring out how to be like a next play guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that didn't go well. All right, next play. Like, next play. Like, he's correcting himself really. Like, next play.
Yeah.
Because we get a bad whistle sometimes. And I don't say we. And when I say we, I mean the Rockets. In the sense of they get grabbed, they get held, they get pushed to the ground. And it's sometimes like, hey, man, you, like, get up and play. And realizing that that's what it is, he's been so much better. And it's just foul sometimes. Like every hooper knows when you get a certain whistle from a referee, like it's personal. Like you are like, you know what I'm saying? But I definitely believe a leader. He wants to step up and hit the big shots. I think he's figuring out still how to get other guys involved.
Yeah.
So he's the point guard that like, if you cut KJ, he's hitting you every time.
Yeah.
But he's learning like, if I send that guy through, he's going to help. And then, you know, KJ's going to have an open three in a corner. You know what I'm saying? So you get it, big bro. The next step, like I said, is when that cutter goes through, I'm waving him through to get the 3-point shot, the open look for my teammate. So he starts getting understanding offenses. And, you know, today's point guard to me has to be even a little more doper. You want to know why? Because before, the point guard's job was just to run the play. Now you got to know your team's strength, and you got to know the other team, how they're playing you. You got to know your player's strengths. You got to that position's evolved because switching, dude, because now plays don't work. Your plays don't work the same anymore.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the next step for Kevin that he has to get you. But don't get it twisted. If you're open, he's getting you to rock every time.
No, he's super talented. What do you think is the most important facet of a team? I mean, there's, you know, offense, defense that contributes to success. Is it both, a combination of both? Is it the teams that can pick up the defensive stuff the quickest, or is it teams that can figure out the offensive stuff the quickest in the NBA?
Can I take another route?
Do it.
Culture. Like, who are you? Like, if your deal is like play defense, get it off the glass and run, like, are you the best at that? Like, if you're Golden State and you score, are you the best at scoring and shooting threes? Right? Like, culture. Like, who are you? Our young guys are figuring out, what are we? Do we scrap and play hard? Do we run? Are we a one-on-one team?
Like, who are we? Who are the Rockets right now at this stage of the game, Holland?
They're still figuring it out. There's a second unit that plays really hard. KJ Martin, Tari Eason, Usman Garuba, they rebound, they dive on the floor, they do that whole deal, all the dirty work. Like all the nasty, the OG Matt Barnes work, okay? Then you're already big, bro. Then you got Kevin and Jalen who can score one-on-one over anybody.
Yeah.
And they're figuring out, how does this work with everybody else? And when am I supposed to go do my deal? Because I can't just go one-on-one every time down. It's not going to work. But my team needs me to go one-on-one. What's that balance? So those two are figuring out what it looks like. And the best thing I saw in the last game, Jalen had, about 7-8 assists last game, had 9 assists the game before. So him playmaking, now that opens up your shot. Now they got to figure out how they're going to guard you. So that's, to me, the biggest difference that I see, or the next step with them, or that's the culture that they have now. But figuring out what are we? Like, are we the team that's going to, like, get in your face? Are we going to get a little chippy with you? Are we good guys? Are we bad guys? Like, and it's legit questions that I don't think any are wrong. Should we, like I said, we're up here in Denver. I remember – you know, Kmart and Chauncey and them boys and Melo, they were bad boys. Trailblazers, they were bad boys. Like, that was their deal, you know? So this young team is still figuring it out. I think they need to run more. You know, when you're young, you got to run, dude. Like, people don't want to run with you for 4 quarters. Yeah. You know, maybe you lose, but you got to lose your way, you know? And then when you figure out what that is, you're dangerous.
Absolutely. No, thank you for that assessment. Yeah, it makes sense, too. Everything that you're saying, especially how you approach the NBA. I asked about technical stuff on court. You went straight to culture and figuring out identity, which is absolutely the right thing to do. What about this NBA season has maybe surprised you, or you've been like, I didn't expect that to happen? Has there been anything that stood out so far, Hollins?
Utah has been pretty good. It's early though, but you know, you were like, kind of like, what are they? And Mike Conley has found a way to like do it again and be himself. So I think Utah is one of those pleasant surprises. Golden State doesn't shock me.
Like, Why not?
You know that, you know, they're going to be better, dude. Like, it's early. Like, them dudes, they're probably not even in shape yet, you know?
Yeah.
And when we saw them, it looked like the real Steph and the real Clay. So it's like, yeah, they're very much still there.
Yeah,
they're very much still there, you know? So Lakers, we're kind of 50-50 on. I think Indiana, pleasant surprise up there. Moving Sabonis. They're not great, but like, they're going to sneak up and beat you. And they've had a couple comebacks, and kind of Rick Carlisle's getting in his bag again. Remember, I think probably his best coaching job was, you know, taking that old Pacers team with after the altercation, and all the suspensions, and just winning games.
Yeah.
And it seems like Rick is kind of doing that again up there with the Pacers. So
Halliburton's been amazing.
Yeah, dude. Like really good. Like, crazy, no turnover stats. It's just a turnover insane. So,
Yeah.
So I think there's a couple of surprises in the league, those being one of them. I think just everything being even killed, though, man. Like, Giannis and Luka doing what they're doing, are we really surprised by that? You know, Jokic being that, like, you know, John Morant, those things are kind of on par to happen. So
Facts.
We haven't seen the breakouts, but I guess I just roll with Utah. You know, Utah right now, and the Pacers a little bit is just like that team you don't really want to play, because they'll come back and they'll beat you. They play two bigs. They're really traditional, but it's just Rick Carlisle being Rick, dude.
Sure. The Clippers and the Lakers have surprised me the most as far as just the way things are going for both. I expected more out of the Clippers. I understand the rhyme and the reason you can't control with injuries and this and that. But it just, for me, I just felt like, you know, both of those teams would be in different positions as we had moving forward through the season. Just that's my little two cents. Not like I, you know, it matters to anybody, but.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible, so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky, they're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
Hollis, let me ask you this. Before you got into the TV broadcasting and when you were a player in the NBA, you were a journeyman. And so you bounced around a little bit. Sometimes you were on a couple teams during the course of a season. What did it take for you from a mental and a physical standpoint to stick in the league and to continuously be on make an NBA roster for a decade?
People don't know, for a young player, I had a different coach every single year in the league. So I used to be frustrated because I would get different defensive coverages, different expectations from the coaches. I couldn't really get this is what we do. This is what we expect from you, from a coach. And I got to a point where it was like, you just got to do it, bro. Like, whatever they're asking, like, you just got to do it. Whatever the system is, like, you just got to do it. And I feel like that helped me a lot in my longevity. And then locking in and, you know, seeing, hey, are you more of an asset to what coach is asking or a liability? You know, or can you deliver what's being asked of you? And I feel like that really helped change what I was able to do or what I was trying to bring to the table and help my longevity in the league, because it's not about you. Like, now, if you're a big time superstar scorer, that's it. But like, for the role player, it's how well you fit. And you're going to be in different situations all the time, and you got to find a way to bring something to the table. And the excuse can't be, I don't know what we're doing. It's a different coverage than last year. It's a different this. Like, you just got to do it, bro.
Yeah. The different standard for the role player.
Yes. How do you fit? How do you adapt? You know, we brought you in for X, Y, and Z, and these are expectations. The expectations are different everywhere. The expectations are different everywhere, dude.
Yeah. Who's the hardest dude that you played with, just as far as like a leader, ball player, everything all in one? Was there somebody during your tenure that you could just have like the utmost respect for because of your experience playing alongside of him?
Oh, Kevin Garnett, bro. That's in history. Hmm. Kevin Garnett is culture. He is going to preach the hard work, the diving on the floor, the intangibles, the little things. Yeah, that's KG all day, twice on a Sunday. It's not even close, dude. Like, yeah, what that man brings to the table, big bro, it's not even close.
Yeah. Oh, that's sick. Was there a situation that you look back on during your career where you were like, man, that was the one that I really am satisfied with my performance? I'm happy about how that went. You know what I'm saying? Is there a place?
You talking about like a full year?
Yeah, or whatever. However long you were there, maybe playoff run. I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of, spitballing.
Yeah. No, when I was in Boston, piggybacking on KG, I learned what basketball was. Like, you can be like, bro, you can lose the love of the game in the NBA so easy because it becomes a numbers thing.
Yeah.
The best guy doesn't always play. You're not going to get certain opportunities. The team is trying to lose. The team's trying to win. You know, you're not getting your shot. And it's easy to kind of lose the love of the game or just be like, I'm just doing what I'm told.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of Boston, the reason why I say it was so special for me is that Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray, like those guys played for pride. We were playing Atlanta, bro. And I remember me and Greg Steesman after the game, KG, this is when, like, I forget who it was on SportsCenter Sunday, like, KG's done. KG's done. He doesn't have it anymore. He's washed up. We're playing Atlanta. I think, like, Jason Collins, bro. He had, like, the game of his life. Atlanta beats us at their place.
Yeah.
Like, KG's washed up. You know, he heard it. And KG dropped, like, 35, 15, and like, three blocks on him. Like, sudden crazy, dude. And me and Greg Steesman were walking back into the locker room. True story, bro. I can't make this up. As we walk in the locker room, we walk around, and, you know, the garden is TD Garden. It's all old and vintage and it's throwback.
For sure.
And we walk in and KG's in the locker room by himself and he's standing there and he's like looking to the sky, bro. And he's flexing every muscle in his body. He's flexing. The game has been over for the last 30 minutes, dude. And KG, I kid you not, bro, he had goosebumps in his arm. He had goosebumps shooting out through his arm. His hairs were sticking straight up. He looked like a Super Saiyan, bro.
Wow.
And he was just vibing out. Yeah. And me and Greg stopped. And we're like, yo, snap, bro. Like, this is not a game. Like, yo, this is real.
Yeah.
And it was like seeing how intense he was. You hear about it, but once you like you see it, it's different. I remember like before the game, no screwing around. Actually around nobody. He has his same routine he does. Like the Bible, dude, it is clockwork, stretch, foam roll, you know, shoot, come in, a hot tub, coat, like the same deal. And like, if you walk into like before the game playing around, he's going to give you the business. And like when he dog, like when KG's heated, he'll look up like if he turns like grunt at you, bro, like, what are you on? Like, and you don't want him to go there. Mm-mm. And even like layup lines had to be the same. Each person went in a certain order. Wow. And then as the ball fell out the net, he had to let it drop. And then like him and Rondo passed the ball to like, it had to be the same deal. And like, you know, like, I can't make it up. Like in order, Johnson. So like you weren't ready. It was a thing.
Wow.
And I probably want to say one of the best experiences is just little stuff, bro. Like I get off on stuff like this. Before the game, there was like we would come out to a certain energy. So you get out there and it's the old building, man, TD Garden, throwback, right? And we had to get out there early. So we're stretching, we're doing our thing. And then, you know, Paul comes out last. Paul's late. It's just Paul's deal, okay?
Okay.
And as he comes out, you know, KG's kind of there. We would be there earlier, and then KG would walk out, he's full sweat. All right, literally full sweat dripping. And he's doing his leg swings, his whole deal. And Paul would come out in the tunnel. He'd be like, Celtics, are you ready? Ooh-ah! Ticket, are we ready? Ooh-ah! And then he walk in to the huddle. Celtics, are we ready? Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah! And we jump around and start doing a deal. And then we take out and run, take off and run down the garden. Yeah. And it felt like you were running through history. And as you come out in the playoffs, dude, the TD Garden would be full. Like, they don't play. This ain't Atlanta. This ain't L.A. Dude. This ain't Brooklyn.
Boston fans are different. Celtic fans,
bro, they're going crazy. KJ, we're running out. They're already in their seats. They're going nuts. And you're coming out this tunnel, and you can see it. And as you run through, it felt like I was in a movie, dude. And half of us go one way, half go the other. We'd circle around and we'd high five around and we start the handshakes and then the layup lines. And it had to be to a T, bro. So when we won, there was no accident. That was a lifetime experience.
Man, how did it feel? And
then, bro, Doc Rivers used to create a unit where KG would start and he'd come out the game early, like 6 minutes in. Every game, he hit first two, three shots, mid-range jumpers, middies, come out the game. Then me and KG would come off the bench.
Ooh. That's beastie. That's beastie right there. That's beastie. Yo. Especially if you're hype. Especially if he's got you hyped.
Dude. So listen, bro, I'm playing with KG was on my wall. I used to cut out little pictures of Kevin Garnett, paste them on my wall growing up, bro. Facts. True story.
Facts.
KG, this was my kind of time. So I would be on the ball and KG would get back and take my man. And whoever went back, he just took him. Because he was like, we the same, Joe. That would be on the ball. And I'd be in a one. It was me and Avery Bradley, prime Avery Bradley. Pick up full court, Avery Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
We'd start in Keon dueling on the other wing. We would deny the other team. They couldn't get the ball in bounds, bro.
Wow.
It was like, it was on some like.
Lock up.
I can't even say AAU. It was on some like. Team practice in the middle of July, going over press hoopers. Break.
Real hoopers.
Court, bro. Hey, yo, those, when I say Johnson, I was playing as hard as I could physically play. Like, I would have, like, run through a wall, bro.
I know.
Yo, some of the best times of my life. But you talk about basketball being an experience, giving yourself to the game. Propelled me, bro. I played 5 or 6 more years just off of taking nuggets from that run. We don't get a championship, no thanks to LeBron, but that run, furthest I've ever been in the NBA, and just seeing what it's like and the details that go into the game were like just being game ready, being able to adjust on the fly. Like, dog, running into a pick and roll with prime D Wade coming off.
Yeah.
And I can't foul him because if I get out of position, it's a foul. He's looking for the foul. D-Way used to be like a power forward, bro, playing two guard.
Please.
He was looking for the contact. So you had to be in the stance ready.
Hey, what was it like playing? What was it like playing Dwight Howard back then?
Here's the thing. Dwight was so strong and so fast that like he put his arms up and like you couldn't like get around him. So you had to like push him out. And like Dwight used to walk around like Debo, bro. Dwight had his own gravity. Johnson, you know what I'm saying? Like when a guy has his own gravity, like you feel where he is on the court.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
like Dwight would sit in the paint, like, I dare you to score over me.
Force of nature.
He would like, send him my way. I dare you to score. Just go. He was getting everything, dude. You had a different, he would wreck defensive player of the year by the way. One of the greatest defensive players we've ever seen. And then there were like no stretch fives. So Dwight can't get away with that now because of stretch fives. There weren't stretch fives, so he just sat there. Like he was so intimidating, dude.
Did you ever dunk on him? Did you ever try? Or did you ever dunk on him?
I didn't catch Dwight.
Okay.
Gave him a jump hook or two before, but like he didn't even have to play real defense, bro. You know how the kids, you'd be like, get in the stance, three quarter, you know, be ready to play. Dwight was so strong and so mobile, bro. You couldn't score on him.
Is he
you couldn't score on him, bro.
Is he top 75 of all time?
Easy.
Okay.
Easy.
I was just wondering.
Easy. Bro, he in his era for what he was supposed to do, he was different, bro. They penalized Dwight maybe for, you know, not being the greatest teammate, you know, kind of beating to his own drum at certain times, but it's like, dog, that dude right there is different, bro. He has not gotten the respect that he deserves, and it's I think it's tough to see, but yeah, Dwight was different, bro.
What during that your career, what was the single greatest performance you ever witnessed or were a part of on your team or that you witnessed in person?
Two of them that I can't not mention. First is Klay Thompson. Clay's not really Clay yet. I don't think this was like this wasn't like championship Golden State. And like he had a couple games, he was a good shooter. You were like, yo, like we like him. Like, yo, like he's good, dude. Like he's good. And me and Carl Landry were on the bench with the Kings. We're veterans at the time. I think like my ninth year, we're chilling.
Yeah.
And we're having a conversation like, yo, do you like Clay at all? Like, you like him like that? You know, we're just talking hoops. And he's like, he's solid. You know, like I roll with him. Like Carl's like, I'm in on him. I'm like, you know, I got to see more. You know, is he just a shooter? Is he defending? What is he? You know, because most of the guys we know put the ball on the deck. Clay is going to burn you with no dribbles.
Yeah.
So I think it's like the third quarter and Clay hits it a three. Okay, it's an open three. All right, cool. You know, game keeps going in the flow of the offense. Clay hits another three. Okay, cool. They get on transition. Clay comes down. Pull up three. Cool. Bang. Okay. Clay pull up three. All right, cool. Clay goes to the block. Turn around. In your mouth. Clay hits another. Jump. Clay comes down. Shot fake. One dribble. Pull up three. Boom. Time out. Whoa, hold on. Okay, who's guarding him? Somebody got him. We're throwing, when the Kings were throwing random defenders at him. Clay and me and Carl looking at each other more and more like, are you watching this? Like, yeah, he's like that. It's to a point, Clay's right in front of me. I'm waving my towel. I darn near probably hit him darn near. I know he can hear me. Ah, I'm trying to make a miss. Hot. He scores 35 points in a quarter, bro.
Dang. 35?
And it's – and me and Carl – NBA record 35 points in one quarter, which means that – do the math, right?
It's crazy.
Could have scored, what, 70? 70 more, points?
And more than
that. Yeah, 70 times. He could have scored 140 points if he did that every single quarter.
Jeez.
It sounds different. 35, right? 35, 70.
Facts.
Yeah, right? It's
facts.
Different. When you say it like that, it hits different. He could have scored 140 points by himself.
That dude's a bucket.
Long story short, one of the greatest things I've ever seen on the other end. I think there's a picture in the Warriors office where he's shooting, and I'm like behind him waving That's a towel, fire. Like That's trying fire. To make a miss. Like somebody yeah. took a picture and showed me.
That's fine. What's the
then
other
one? LeBron, we're up 3-2.
Ooh.
We're ready to get our ring size, coming back to the crib, coming back to Boston. And the report said LeBron is soft. He's not a dog. He doesn't have it.
The actual scouting report?
Not the scouting report, but that was the consensus about him. He's not like that. You know, he's talented. He's good. But if you put him – that was our game plan, though. Kind of like if you put him in the right situation, he's going to fold. You'll see his brain thinking too much, and he's going to he's not ready. And we got there. We played well. We were going to come out ready. We were going to be us. We knew that if things got tight, we wanted the game to be tight. Okay, we wanted the game to be tight because we knew Dwayne Wade beat us, I think, two games. And we're like, okay, as soon as we lock in on Dwayne Wade, he's the only guy who can go get you in the fourth quarter. So we're like, cool. We got Dwayne Wade figured out. Got him locked up. We good. Because now if they got to go to Bron, he's not going to
– So you guys weren't tripping on Bron. You guys were basically like, if it's the fourth quarter, you're not really tripping on Bron.
We're going to see T-Rex arms. He's going to – the moment's going to hit him. The moment's going to hit him, right?
Wow.
So we're like, just do our thing. Don't trip. Of course, we're playing hard. We don't want him to score, but great players are going to score. But the moment's going to hit him. LeBron proceeded to have one of the greatest performances we've ever seen in the NBA. In the garden, KG said things to him, I can't repeat this day to this day. Your mama, your auntie.
Lord. Oh, Lord.
Grandma. He went in. And LeBron had this look on his face, bro. It wasn't hyped. It wasn't sad. It was just in the zone, bro. And he gave us 35, 15, and like 5 and for the game it would have been a closeout game. We would have went to the NBA championship. And like, you know, Bron, like it's dunks. It's nah, bro. These were Jumpers. Midi pull-ups. Fade away.
That's when he was mid post. That's when he was mid posting y'all.
Mid post, bro. We couldn't run a double team over there fast enough.
I know, because he was already turning around and fading.
And you know the double team's there. So we're jumping on that outside shoulder, forcing him back middle.
Yeah,
he's
I remember
still
that game.
Going dog.
I remember and that it was, game.
And it was like, I'll never forget it. After we lost, Paul and KG were like, he liked that. Like, we respect him. Like, he liked that. Ain't oh,
they,
no more questions.
They gave
Young
it up.
Got it.
They gave it up. All right.
He got it. They're like, he got it. He liked that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible. So I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game.
Yeah, that Bron game was like that turning point game where, you know, he kind of shed that tag of not being clutch. I remember back then it was all about Bron, this lack of clutchness and why we can't consider him this and that. And that game in particular in the Garden, I think they had on their black unis, the dang Heat. I mean, they came with it and he couldn't miss. What did it feel like in that situation after the game when you guys realized that the series had shifted?
I don't want to say we knew we lost because you're going to try everything to win.
Yeah.
But you knew in their place, with their role players, see, role players play better at home. Their role players running and their energy and a different type of atmosphere. Like, we had to win. You have to win this game.
Right.
Don't let it go back 3-3 at their house.
No, sir.
And we don't get me wrong, we gave it everything we had in game 7, but we knew that window was missed. And it was like, when you know you've given 100% to something, you live with the results. We live with it. It was disappointing, but we live with the results.
Yeah, you do. What do you think was the biggest difference in the way that you were coached at UCLA versus the way that you were coached in the NBA?
Ben Hallen, well, Lavin let me get loose. Don't get me wrong, but it was like, just go be you. And it was like, people don't remember, I used to take cats off the bounce and go bang out. I used to shoot. I'm not going to say bring the ball before, but if I play on the wing, I could dribble up the mid-post, go baseline, spin back. Ben Hallen was like, I want you on the block. I don't want you to dribble. I want you to shoot a jump hook. I don't want you to block a shot. I want you to wall up. It was a whole different thing. When I got to the NBA, it was like, oh, he has a 40-inch vertical? We didn't know that because we never saw you really dunk in college because Ben Hallen just wanted 2 points. So I had to adjust and show God's gifts. Hmm. You get what I'm saying?
So you played a different game in the league than you did in college, basically. You became the athlete.
Yeah. I had to, and it worked out in the best way in the sense that I had to like learn, all right, go set this screen, get your shooter open. Okay, he's flaring, flip the screen, read the flare. All right, he jumps out, slip lob. Like, I had to learn the game of basketball from Ben Hallett. Mm. So later in my career, the things he taught me, and defensively, he was a mastermind. I was ahead when I got to the league defensively because of the things he showed me. But once I merged as a veteran, the defense and the offense and the minute details, things worked out. But it was like, be an athlete, run, use your gifts that you were given. You know what I'm saying? So I had to find that.
When was it your senior year that you played in the final?
Yes, senior year.
And so, and that was against Florida.
Yes.
And so, I always wanted to know about this. Like, up until that point, you had been playing well. I remember you had been playing well. As far as like NBA prospects, it was sort of like, you know, you were sort of a guy. I don't know if you were on the draft boards, but you were like an interesting sort of dude for people, right? So when you went up against Noah and Horford and kind of, you know, really showed a different class of athleticism against those two guys, did you, after that game, even though you had the L in the championship, did you at all feel somewhat like satisfied? Like I proved I could play against two highly rated dudes that are going to be, you know, big time pros?
Well, for one, those two were probably my age, but they were sophomores at the time, which was like crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody knew those two were going to be two mainstays in the NBA for a really long time.
Right.
Like, those dudes aren't normal. And then Mo Spates is off the bench and Chris Richards. So they have four leaguers on the team.
Mo Spates.
They didn't realize that.
I forgot about Mo Spates.
So I was very, very frustrated. I didn't realize I played as well as I played until after the game. I had 10 and 10 in the championship game in like two blocks.
I know.
People don't realize that. But I was, because Noah was so good in Horford, I was going to do moves that Ben Hallen never equip me to do.
Yeah.
And it was like beat Noah baseline, spin back. He's just as long as you. He's still there. All right, go up over him with your touch. Nah, I'm showing him the basketball. He's gloving my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was frustrated. Like, I could have had 20 and 10 in the chip, but Ben Hallen didn't let me work on my face-ups, my stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel
so
you.
So now playing against other pros, I'm trying to go to moves that I hadn't worked on or I didn't have.
That's tough.
And I'm like, this is going to work? This, I have to be able to do this to shoot over his length.
Yeah.
And I didn't have it.
Mm.
Or to back him down, do, you know, hook or whatever, blah, blah. Because Noah was weak, but he was long. He was just rangy, athletic, super long.
Yeah.
You know, he was Joe Kim, dog. Like, one of the best defenders in the league once he got to the league. So
absolutely.
For me, it was figuring that out. And I was so frustrated in a sense, and I was crushed my last game. I wasn't thinking about going pro or nothing. I was hurt. We lost in the chip. I was crushed. A lot of emotions came to me. They just hit me. They crushed me. And then it was like, yo, get on the grind. No time to soak. Rico called me that weekend. We got to work probably that Monday, bro.
Yep.
And we went at it. Rico Hines.
Yep.
But I knew I had more for me in the NBA. And the first time I saw Noah in the league, got him on a post up, faced up, rip baseline, came under that thing and yammed it.
Oh, sweet.
like that meant something. Like, you know that what
did.
I'm saying?
That did.
And hats off to Joe Kim, bro. That man owned me in that game. There's no question there. And Joe Kim is that dude, bro. Hats off to him, man. That dude had a heck of a career, bro.
Sure.
But for me in that sense, big bro, definitely the like dang, like I'm trying to do something I don't have right now.
Yeah. No, but I didn't get any of that. I was blown away by your performance in the championship. I still always felt like, you know, that was just like, wow, Hollins really came to play. And that's when I knew you were going to be in the league. I didn't know how, but I knew you were going to be in the league and you could contribute. I was like, this guy can play. I mean, please, you know, 40-inch vert, he's doing all this. So that was impressive. What a lot of people don't realize about you, a couple of things they don't realize unless they obviously look you up, is that you had signed with St. Louis originally, Coach Romar, out of high school, and you were a two-sport athlete and were a member of the UCLA track and field team. How did you balance? That's fascinating to me, Hollis. How did you balance two sports?
Bro, you know, when hoop is over in the spring, we chilling. We just doing the little workouts. You used to be in there with Coach Spence getting it in. Like, yeah. That's the time I wish I'd never quit track, because it was like I could have just done some basketball workouts and did track. And my bounce went wild from year one to year two. That's why my bounce went even, like, crazier, bro.
Yeah.
You think about it.
Yeah, I did.
And then I had the knee surgery and set me back a little bit, but it was still there. Like, it never left. So – yeah, that's the time we chilling, bro. Think about it. Springtime, we got nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's just spring workouts and weights.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was easy. It was mentally refreshing. Yeah. Imagine you go from hoop and you need this teammate to go well, that to work and this. And then it's like, oh, wow, every single time I went out, I PR'd. Every week, oh, phenomenal, career best, phenomenal. You just keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you a Fosbury fly? What did you do? The long high jump or triple jump?
The high jump. I did high jump and triple jump. I took third in the state and triple jump in high school. But everything, there are like no triple jump high jumpers. So the events would conflict. They would run into each other. So I just primarily did high jump. And I did 7 feet and a quarter. And I went backwards, if that's what you're asking. Flop. Yeah, I didn't go forward. Yeah, yeah. Forward was that. It's dated.
No, it's just amazing that a 7 foot, because I mean, sure, Wilt Chamberlain, I don't know of any other 7 foot high jumpers. There was a guy that's like 6'8", 6'9", in Cuba, Sotomayor. I forgot his first name, mm-hmm. but he was pretty good. But, you know, it's just amazing to me that you had the coordination. I was going to break down that the fact that you're a high jumper, the coordination to do all that, to do that type of jump, and then the triple jump coordination to go same leg twice. What was the training like with that stuff, Hollins? Or were you just a natural?
Bro, it's the most unnatural thing ever. The first time in high school when I went to high jump, bro, my coach just had me stand on a box and jump into the thing and get used to landing.
Oh, in the pit?
I had to jump in the pit, and it was our old pit was dusty, and the dust stuff was going everywhere, and it kind of, you know, aged. So every time I jumped in, it would be full of just sod and all kind of stuff, dude.
Yeah,
I jumped in that pit like 50 times my first time. Because if you have perspective, you're running, then you drive your leg up, you peek at the bar, and in the arch, you go completely backwards.
Dang.
And I'm trusting that I'm looking up into the sky, wow. And I'm trusting that once my feet get over and I tuck, I'm going to land. Because who trains to jump on a mat?
That's freaking crazy.
If you did that without a mat, you darn near break your back.
It's all about
trust.
You got to
jump as high as you can. Yeah, it's all about trust. So the biggest thing is getting that trust together. And it was so difficult, bro. But once I got used to it, I got better. And I kind of figured it out. I got used to it. And then I remember, like, the best coach sometimes is your teammates. And I remember 6'8 was like my PR, right? And I remember this Kevin Weaver, unathletic 6'4 white dude, stiff, built like a box.
Yeah.
Not even really like bouncy. You know, athletes walk around bouncy and springy.
Yeah.
Kevin, 6'8 was my PR, right? In high school. Kevin did a three-step approach and did 6'8.
Dang.
Three-step approach means like you're starting from like, you start from far back, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, you have certain steps.
Yeah.
He said 1, 2, 3 and went 6'8.
Ooh.
And I was like, this dude just jumped my PR off a three-step approach. And I said, I know I have more bounce than him. So I literally watched him and was like, I'm doing it. Boom. Boom. Did it. Boom. Did it.
What'd you hit? What was your height?
6'8".
Did you beat it?
I did 7 feet and 3 quarters was the highest I've done.
Damn.
And I was told that when I cleared 7 feet and 3 quarters, it was like 4 or 5 inches that I could have even went even higher. Because I still didn't really have the form.
Man, what's – dang, that's –
because the toughest thing – baby, bro, the toughest thing is when you want to just jump super high. But if you get too technical, you don't really – so you got to find that mix of power and technique. Boom.
Man, that takes a considerable amount of grace and coordination. My brother Mariah was a high jumper in high school, and he did some stuff. Mo was high jumping. So, I mean, but it does. You had to have a certain type of build, I think. Although it's crazy that Kevin was able to do that with his box shape, as you described him.
Easy, bro. Yeah, Kevin. And I learned so much, and he was a great veteran. I just followed him.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man, let's do this. Let's do, you know.
Yeah.
Just watched him.
Yeah.
I can learn so much more from watching him than anything a coach could tell me.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible. So I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. and we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game winner ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
And who would you credit for your basketball love of the game? Like when you first fell in love with the game when you were a young man, was it a NBA player? Was it a coach? Was it, you know, parents? I don't. You tell me.
My dad, man, easy. He put a court up in the backyard. I remember coming home from school. My neighbor went and got me, which was weird. Like my neighbor never picks me up from school. It's either dad or mom. Pick me up from school. I got home. There's a court in the backyard. I lost my marbles. I remember watching the 92 NBA championship. I was originally a Rockets fan, dude.
Okay.
Watching Hakeem and Shaq go at it. Mm-hmm. Fell in love with the game. They're tall like me. They're big like me. And then it was the two tall guys were the centerpiece of that championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was going to win? And I just fell in love with the game from there, dude. And it was something I was just in the backyard, just voluntarily just shooting and playing. And my dad just knew. It's crazy. My dad always said, my dad's only 6'4", my mom's 5'11". Okay. My dad was like, my son's going to be 7 feet. You're going to be 7 feet. Since a kid, I knew I was going to be sick because he put it in my brain. And he put the court in the backyard, dude. And I fell in love with it. He just put the pieces there, dude. And it worked.
Did you guys used to work out a lot? Like, would it be like early in the morning or late at night? Or did you have any unorthodox methods that Pops kind of...
I wanted to train with my dad was a track and football guy, and I wanted to train and work with him more than anything, but he wouldn't do it. It's weird. We would go down to the high school and he would train the high school kids how to hurdle, he trained the state champ in hurdles.
Wow.
Taught him how to hurdle. He was his deal. So we would play basketball, but he never trained. He didn't know how. He didn't know how.
What do you mean?
It's crazy. And it's different times.
Yeah. No, it was different times. So when you were around, eighth, ninth grade, is that when you kind of say you started to get real serious about the game, seeking out training, working on different moves, playing in AAU? Was it around then or was it earlier?
Not even then. I didn't play organized ball. I just played in the backyard.
Yeah.
I didn't have those same opportunities, dude. Dang. I played in the backyard.
I thought you were on AAU.
I wanted to. I just didn't have the opportunity.
Wow. So you were just hoping
I wanted to.
You were in the park?
Nowadays, if they see a kid 6'5", you're grabbing him on a team. You're going to go pick him up from his house, drive him to where he's going. Dude, you know, growing up, it wasn't like that. Dang. Now every kid has a team. It wasn't like that when we grew up.
Yeah.
You were privileged to kind of have an AAU team or something like that. Like, I got cut. I made the freshman team, the JV team, my summer year, going into the summer. So I didn't play till my sophomore year, organized basketball.
How did you get on the college radar?
Kept growing, kept getting more bouncy. I started going to the camps, and then I played AAU, but I didn't really play major AAU, but I murdered those camps. You know, the West Coast camp, Dino Tricones had his deal. And I murdered it. I played for Rockfish a little bit, but I murdered it, and it was like you couldn't deny that. Like, Greg Hicks ranked me third in California as a center. Wow. And people are like, who's Ryan Hollins? Who is that? And Greg was like, just watch. Mm-hmm. Just watch. Yeah.
And why St. Louis coming out? Was it all Romar, or was it something about St. Louis that you loved, or was it a combination of both?
It was all Romar, bro. It was 200% Romar. So when Romar bounced, it wasn't even a question. Like, I'm out.
That's so funny.
I'm out.
Hey, the funny thing is, real quick, not to interrupt you, but when Romar left UCLA to go be the head coach at Pepperdine the first time, all of us were thinking about bouncing over to Pepperdine.
Yo, that's crazy. Everybody. I didn't know that.
Oh, please. The thought went through people's minds. I'll just say that. Wow. I know I was dead serious. I was like, Malibu, the only thing, you know, I was just kind of like, you know, dang, leaving UCLA, but it's like, you know, then I was like, I can't leave UCLA, dog. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
For real.
Sorry. Continue, my brother.
Romar, when he left for Washington, I was supposed to go to Washington. And when me and Romar first talked, he said, if you go to any school, who would it be? I said, UCLA. But that time, I didn't like UCLA. You know, UCLA just had to make sense for me, dude. I was off them, super chip on my shoulder. Super chip. Like, they don't rock with me, I don't rock with them.
So you was on that? You was on that? So you wasn't rolling with Lab at first?
No, he didn't recruit me. He looked past me. Gerald Mackin sat there and looked past me. Gerald Mackins had to like get me some like Tracy McGrady shoes, bro. He had to order some shoes and get me some shoes.
Wow.
Who did to make up for it? Because I told him straight off, this is dog. Bro, you remember I was on one. I was like, you overlooked me.
You told him.
First time I saw him, I saw you. You came to my game and overlooked me, didn't say nothing to me.
Oh wow. I forgot. You were on one.
Yeah, I didn't know the etiquette, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't know the etiquette. And then I said, look, I plan on being a professional, and this is my choice. And every center that went through UCLA made it to the pros. I know I'm not their guy. I know they don't know me. They don't know anything about me. So I came in with a super chip on my shoulder, and I said that if I can start here, the NBA is meant to be. But Mike Fay was supposed to be the four-year starter there, not Ryan Hollins. So when I came, I came about that business, boss. You had to see me. And probably the first person that kind of really gave me my roses, it was like, hey, he's different. MJ, Pops came through. We were playing pickup ball.
Okay.
And he pulled me to the side. I swear to God, bro. I want to swear to God over something minute, like something simple like that. Not life and death, but like Pops was like, you're going to be a 10-year NBA veteran.
Dang.
A long time in the NBA. Nobody knew. You had Evan Burns, Jason Capono, Ray Young with the grown man calves. Yeah. You had all these guys in there.
Yeah.
Michael Fay was like Lefty. All-American at the time.
Yeah.
You said, Ryan Hollins, you're going to play 10-plus years in the NBA. And I've been a Johnson ever since.
Well, MJ always has that unique ability as far as that basketball stuff to spot it out. Especially he sees something about it. He's passed that along to us as well. And when you're the way you played, you affected the game in a lot of ways without scoring. And I mean, for me, it was just, you know, it was a no-brainer. I wish the one regret that I think I had for you at UCLA was when they sort of stunted your development a little bit as far as the things that you were capable of doing. Because I definitely saw, I remember, I think that year under Lav, you were doing some stuff. I mean, I remember, did you take off? Did you have a crazy dunk that year from the dang near
Dottie?
Dude, you had one dunk, but it was one dunk that was just crazy. I can't remember, but I was just somewhere watching. I think I was at a bar. I was just like, you came through. You had the long braids. And I was like, damn. I was like, Hollins. I think I texted somebody. It was like, Hollins, man. Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Nah, yeah,
bro. I was, you know, like you said, I knew there was so much more for me because I knew I wasn't being taught the right things. And I just knew if somebody gave me the opportunity, if I could just creak through that door, I knew I had to do it on hustle because I was like, if y'all mess around and let me get this skill part, it's a wrap, bro.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. I just knew there was more for me. I was like, this is not it. I haven't even become me.
Yeah. No, you haven't. And what I love about it, you took that same sort of attitude and you attacked the world of sports media and sports broadcasting in a similar fashion. I watched your ascent and your rise and, you know, watching you on ESPN and just watching you just go about it and never turning down a job or an opportunity. At one point, you seemed to be one of the hardest working men in all the sports media. You're on every day, 2 and 3 times. I mean, I remember all that. So I have a lot of respect for your grind, brother, is not only as a basketball player, but in the afterlife, you know, the after basketball. You're an excellent example. I love when you post your stuff of you working out still and just how you're keeping yourself together, in shape, dunking, still live, still, you know, I saw you was in the Big Three. When did you play? I wanted to talk about that, the Big Three. Do you still, like, what is it about the Big Three that made you want to go and play in it?
I love the game, bro. Like, I love the game. And then I'm like, we don't got to go overseas, and I can still do broadcasting. Like, I always thought they'd have to drag me off the court with an injury.
Yeah.
I always thought that my career was going to, like Alonzo Mourning, like, it was going to have to be it. Like, I just can't. I always envisioned that. And when I went to Spain, I experienced nationalism, which trumps racism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't be a part of this.
Mm.
So only two of us Americans can be on a court at the same time.
Mm.
No matter how well I play, y'all going to sub me out the game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get a chance to rock. Policeman pulled me over for no reason. I was like, where's your passport? I was like, I work here. He's like, where's your passport? I was like, bro, I live down the street. Where's your passport? I said, my father raised me to have much more pride than that. So when I went into broadcasting, I knew I ended my basketball career premature, but I said, I ain't going back overseas. I ain't sending my family over there. I ain't doing that. We're not going to have a 10-year overseas career. I'm going to work my gosh darn tail off to make broadcasting work. I don't have an option.
Mm.
I don't have an option. There's no, this is going to pop. Big bro, you don't understand. This is going to pop off no matter what. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't know, I was starving to find out. I asked a million questions. I used to go to First Take. I used to sit in the control room and First Take and watch the show.
Good.
So what makes this show good? What is he saying? What's he not saying? What do you want to see on the show? What's the idea of the show? I used to ask the producers, what do you guys want from me? I used to write essays. I used to write and send in stuff to get my notes together so they knew I was prepared so I could send my knowledge. What does the editing look like? My social media, I start running all my social media because I realized that, dang, that was a weak clip.
Mm.
So I understood I need to come off with something good for my social media. Like, dang, you are lame right there. Your biggest judge is yourself. Now try to post your content and make your content pop off. Then you'll find out that you ain't really doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm. How you entertain? I got 5 seconds to grab your attention before you tune off.
Facts.
I got to grab you in 5 seconds. Then I got to be interesting. Then I got to make you feel some type of way. Man. If you hear me talk and you didn't feel some type of way, love, joy, happy, peace. We come back to watch our favorite media personality for the emotions. I hate him. I love him. Dang, he couldn't be more right. He couldn't be more. I had to figure that out.
Mm.
I didn't have an option, KJ. No. I wasn't going back overseas.
No, sir. No, man, when your back's against the wall, sometimes we find out a lot about ourselves. You know, when we really have to step up, and you know, the true measure of a man is tested. My brother, we've been on this thing for a minute, man. It's about time that we got you on. I know that I was supposed to have you on last year, but you know, unfortunately it didn't work out. But I'm glad you made some time for me and my brother to come on, man, and chop it up with me.
Appreciate it, big bro. Anytime, you know that, man.
Man, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Hollins.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. A bottle of Lucas Complete Fuel Treatment can clean your system and help your engine get more MPGs. Right now, you can get two bottles for only $9.99. A great deal to help you go a great deal farther. Find Lucas Complete Fuel Treatment and everything you need for better fuel efficiency at any one of our 6,300 stores.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.